Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, this is question and answer. We're here with our new edition. We're ready to help you with your questions, and I'm here today with Mr. Barati. How are you doing? Inshallah, you're doing well.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, I am fine. I am so much pleased that participate in your program, and I am with you and your listeners. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm pleased to be in your company again today. Okay, dear listeners, as I told you, this is a question and answer. We're here to answer your questions on philosophy, belief, and ideology. If you want, it's possible to reach us on the following telephone number, which is 0098-251-2910-551. I will repeat that one more time. 0098-251-2910-551. Okay, we also have an email address, which is Radio Ma'alif, which is spelled like this, RadioMaarif at irib.ir. So feel free to send us your questions or to give us some suggestions on the program. Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, Allah, Allah, walhamdulillah, Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, Allah, Allah, walhamdulillah. In the last edition, I don't know if you remember, I'm quite sure you do, the last edition we were speaking about hijab, and more specific, does covering yourself with hijab cause limitation or not? The lady who gave us this question by telephone also posed another one, and I suggest we continue from there. Let us listen to the question, please.
And my second question is about what are the effects of hijab or covering? Thank you again for your good program.
That was a very, very clear question. What are the effects of covering yourself? Mm-hmm. Maybe we have discussed a little bit about this already in the last edition of our program, but I don't think it might hurt if we discuss this question as well. What are the effects of covering yourself with hijab?
Mm-hmm. If it is not strange for you and it is not shocking for you, I want to tell that the effect of hijab is freedom. How? Because you can, the woman which wears hijab can release her powers, her talents, her abilities. She is not confined in the circle of sexual attractiveness or sexual, for example, beauties or like this. So she becomes free. She can move as a human being,
yes,
like a man, like another person, which is not confined to this. So she can have concentration. She can have freedom of movement. She can have freedom of activities because nobody can harass her or can stop her for special uses or desires or like this. But if she is taking care of her, for example, femininity, so it is a kind of a limitation for her. She should always take, you know, in these days, women don't look beautiful, but if they take care of their body, take care of their makeup, take care of their appearance, so also these are limitation for them. And always they are limited in this circle, in this zone of sexuality. But if they can free themselves from this kind in their movement, in their education, in their, for example, job, in their activities, they can taste and they can experience other fields of work, other fields of humanity, other fields of life, other fields of activity, other fields of progress and achievements. They come out from this prison of sexuality. But if they, for example, leave themselves nude, and nudity gives them a kind of limitation in this very small circle. If in being a woman, in being a feminine only.
Yes. But right now, we have only been speaking about the external hijab of women.
Mm-hmm.
But the internal hijab, which is something which is also very, very, very important, which is something that is forgotten often within Muslim circles. Because there are a lot of women who pay attention to their external assets, so to say, but don't pay attention to their internal hijab. Please, for those who are not aware of what internal hijab is and what its meaning is, please explain a little bit about this.
Yes, in free societies, we cannot make separation between internal hijab and external hijab. Usually, the one who has internal hijab has external hijab, and vice versa. But sometimes, in some societies, we observe a kind of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means that they are obliged, or they are forced, or they are used to have external hijab, but inside they don't have hijab. They don't have, for example, sexual ethics of Islam, but they are used to, or it is popular in their society to wear hijab, but they don't take care of, for example, piety and being virtuous and to taking consideration the ethics, sexual ethics of Islam. But, for example, in European societies, there is no need to be a hypocrite. If you have internal hijab, you want to be, for example, a faithful person, you wear hijab. And if you wear hijab, it shows that you are a faithful person.
Yes.
There is no need for hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is always, for example, come to the existence or is, for example, born of force and of tyranny and oppression. Oppression, for example, makes and results hypocrisy. We are not talking of the case of hypocrisy. In usual, for example, cases, in natural situation, the one who has internal hijab wears hijab, wants to be safe, wants to be a faithful person. And somebody who has not internal hijab leaves herself free in appearance, nude, and let, for example, strangers look at her as a, for example, sexual subject mm-hmm. or object.
There are some Muslim women who say that, okay, yeah, I'm religious. I pray, I fast, I do everything, but I choose not to wear hijab. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I believe in Allah and that's enough, I'm Muslim, I will be forgiven. Is this way of thinking correct?
If we want to, for example, innovate or we want to, for example, bring a new thing, maybe, but if we want to find real Islam and, for example, historical Islam and traditional Islam, Islam doesn't accept division. No, Islam is one set. If you take a part of it, it is not complete.
Doesn't divide between internal and external.
No. In Islam, Islam is like a set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you take one part of it, it is not complete. It mm-hmm. is not Islam.
Well, actually, I know within akhlaq, you know, the moral and ethical system mm-hmm. of Islam, you know, it becomes clear that it's not correct just to have hope for forgiveness only.
Mm.
You know, hope should be
with action.
No, hope should be together with fear. You should fear God and hope for his forgiveness at the same time. And once you only have hope for his forgiveness, it means that you, you know, like you have some kind of superiority feeling.
Hope without work is meaningless.
Uh-huh.
For example, like a farmer.
Yeah.
A farmer has hope to have, for example, products
yeah.
at the end of the year. But if he only preserves this hope and doesn't go to work in the farm, do you think that he can have products?
No, of course not.
Yes. So also all of us should have hope because life is full of hope, mm-hmm. but hope with work. Islam yeah. Is amal, aqidah, amal. Mm-hmm. Is hope, is work. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. If you do even one, for example, a small part of goodness, you will find it.
But actually, it's also one of the major sins within Islam, just to have hope only, exclusively,
mm-hmm.
and not have fear, or the other way around, just to fear Allah and not hope for his grace and forgiveness. Am I right? It's one of the biggest sins that will not be forgiven if...
Yes, there should be a kind of balance between yeah. hope and fear mm-hmm. in Islam. And it is not fear giving you salvation and good, for example, end of life, and not only hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope mm-hmm. with action and fear with action. Even fear. Fear without action is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's funny. Okay, you fear from a snake and you don't, for example, take yourself away of it? You don't mm-hmm. fight it? No, it is not possible. It is not meaningful. Fear is also with action. Hope is with action.
Yes.
If not, it is a kind of, for example, what we can say, full behavior.
I would like to ask you another question also about hijab. But this time I would like to relate it to the hijab of men.
Mm-hmm.
Because men also should observe hijab themselves. What is the hijab of men? This is my question.
Hijab of men is also internal and external. External is obvious that they are obliged to cover their body. There is necessary, for example, hijab for them and obliged hijab and also recommended hijab for them. Necessary hijab is to wear sexual organs, and recommended hijab is to wear the most...
Cover your sexual organs, and after that?
It is necessary. It is obliged.
Okay.
It is not...
It's obligation for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone.
Okay.
And it is better to cover most of parts of your body. This is external hijab for men. And internal hijab, you know what is it is piety, is to don't
lower
look at
gaze.
Others as sexual, for example, targets yeah. or objects, and don't look at women, for example, rather than your wife. For example,
can you quote this ayah that men, Muslim believers, believing men should lower their gaze?
Yeah. It is equal for women and men.
Mm-hmm.
This is a kind of internal hijab.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, the women are corrupted like nowadays, these days in the West. You know, the men were those who corrupted women.
Mm-hmm.
This nudity, this sexism, and this kind of collapse of, for example, ethical values in regard of women.
Mm-hmm.
The men were after it, not women themselves. Mm-hmm. First of all, men invited and declared and propagated for this kind of nudity.
But most sadly, this is not just something, because we are generalizing a lot. We speak about the West and non-Muslim countries, but I think also within the Muslim world, this is a very, very big problem.
Of course. It is referring to the nature of man, nature of a human being. Has two kinds of desires. Desires for goodness and desires for badness. Before this Western life, before this modern life, we had, for example, a lot of societies, they had such as these problems. But nowadays, because there's a challenge between two systems of life, two styles of life, always we are comparing these two models, especially for Muslims living in the West, or even Muslims living in Islamic countries. There is a challenge between two systems, two important and main systems of life and styles of life. One is traditional Islamic, or for example, local, and one is coming from the West. Because of that, we refer too much to the West. It is not a kind of, for example, zeal or hatred for the West. Nowadays, there is a kind, always there is challenge between these two. Yes, we have a lot of problems in Eastern societies also, in, for example, non-developed societies, in underdeveloped societies, in Islamic societies. There are
Personally, I don't really believe in labeling problems as Western or Eastern or whatever. I just believe in good Islamic ethics and non-Islamic ethics, wherever it may come from. But, you know, like, because even in
Non-Islamic systems are different. They are not all of them the same, similar to each other. For example, there are traditional societies. There are Eastern, Western, African, Asian. There is a lot of difference between the values. For example, me and you, yes. For example, maybe you observed your country only, and now this is the second country you visit. Me, maybe I didn't go out. I didn't go abroad. I only visited my country. But the man, the one who looks from the, for example, from a higher
perspective,
finds a lot of diversity in cultures.
Yeah.
As
well, good as bad points.
Maybe something is good in this culture is bad in that on that culture. Modern societies, old societies, traditional, for example, you know, postmodern societies.
And that's the thing I feel myself as a person. I feel, even though I'm Muslim, my values are, you know, like in a sense Western, but at the same time compatible with Islam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't discern between Western or Eastern ethics and morals. I just see something as Islamic. And if it's compatible with Islam, I accept it. If it's not compatible, I reject it.
I
think it should be like this for Middle Eastern Muslims as well. Because even within Middle Eastern society, there are certain points which are not compatible with Islam at all.
Even when we are talking about Western societies and Western lifestyle and criticizing it, we mean that what is preached by media, what is imposed, what is propagated by media. We know that this kind of culture even is not popular in Western countries. A lot of Western people are complaining from this, what is now preached and imposed. Like, for example, I was in, for example, in some Western countries, in some European countries.
Yes.
Like, for example, Austria. People are complaining from these people which are following this postmodern culture, like in dancing rooms, in for example, what
discos, bars,
for example, discos, cafes. They are making noise till the end of night, and people don't like it. The appearance they have, they wear, for example,
short
trousers is tiered. They are complaining.
Sounds so, pretty familiar to me.
Yes,
yeah.
I should correct myself and say that I don't mean the popular culture in the West. I mean this new culture which is preached and imposed by media.
It's what reaches our eyes first.
And that's not all
mean.
Of the
but
media.
It doesn't mean
some
it's,
special media, some certain media, I mean, not all of them. Because most of medias in the West are not like, they are, for example, perspective.
This is not something that you will see on CNN quickly, you know, like the promotion of this kind of
even
disco.
This is not the yes,
like
this is not
it.
The popular culture of the West. Not, for example, medieval age West, not modern age West. West is different. But the West, they are showing to us.
Well, most probably, if this would take place in the Middle Ages, they would try to chase them out of their cities with violence.
Nowadays,
or accuse
for example,
them of witchery of some
our
sort.
our young generation are looking to the West through this media. for example, satellite channels like this. And even this
gives
picture,
a very one-sided view.
This picture is showing is not a popular. It is not showing the whole life in the West and the popular life in the West. It is a kind of art or a kind of demagogy this media is doing, is following, to show things to people not in real shape and in real nature. I am criticizing this only. When I call West when I name West, I mean this, not the real West.
Very
but unfortunately, it is very influential and attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not true.
Mm-hmm.
It is not reality.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem. So I am criticizing this concept of, for example, visitors and witnesses of this media, not the real West.
You know, what they want to do, a lot of these media, is that they try and portray life in the West as a Hollywood movie, you know, and no one in European countries lives like this. Well, at least the majority of the people don't. Maybe a few movie stars, and that's it.
Really, really. Yeah. Because I have visited the West itself.
Uh-huh.
So when I compare, I find that the picture is very much different from the reality.
Thank you very much. Received an email by Mr. Rashid from Africa. He was asking, what is the best way to know God? Is it through prophets, or is it through our own reasoning and by observing the qualities of God? Please tell us what you think, what's your opinion, and give us some brief explanation if possible.
Thank you very much. In Islam, the ways leading to God are numerous and are, for example, you cannot even count them. Nobody can count them because they are too many. Everybody can find different ways for himself or herself to know God. Through experience is okay. Through reasoning and wisdom is okay. Through prophets is okay. In Islam, you are not confined, you are not limited to one way. You can examine, you can test all of the ways, and the ways are numerous. In the number of creatures, or more than them, because a prophet is helping your reason, and reason is helping the prophet. There are traditions in Islam, in Usul Kafi, a very famous book from Imam Kazim alayhi salam, the seventh Imam of Shia.
Could says, you repeat the title of that book, please?
Usul Kafi.
Okay.
Kafi is the real title of book, mm-hmm. and this Kafi is divided in three parts, Usul, Furu, and Rawza.
Yes.
Usul is the part of Kafi refers to creeds and beliefs,
mm-hmm.
mostly. In this part of Kafi, there is a tradition from Imam Musa Kazim, the seventh Imam. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you two lights to find the reality, to find the universe as it is, and to approve God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is prophets, like Musa, Isa, Muhammad, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them. And another one is your reason.
Aql.
Your aql. Mm-hmm. So aql is from inside and prophet is from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of ways they can lead to God. And all of them are accepted.
You know, which is interesting is that I recently read a short article about the different types of intelligences which human beings have. For example, one person might have intelligence which is very compatible to mathematics, mm-hmm. a mathematical mind. Another one might have a more verbal mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it's like blood types, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, like Allah has created one path for every single type of intelligence that a person has. And I think this is a very, very beautiful thing. No, but what I...
Of course, the most important thing is to be convinced, to believe.
Mm-hmm.
By any way you can, it is accepted in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders his prophet in Quran, says, "I'lam annahu la ilaha illallah." You know that if you know that there is no God but Allah, it is enough.
Mm-hmm.
By any way, by any instrument, by any method, by any, for example, courier, it is not important. It is the destination is to know,
mm-hmm.
to be with knowledge, by any kind of instrument or method, no problem.
You know, what comes to mind is that a lot of our listeners ask us questions about how to get close to Allah. You know, like it shows that there's a little bit of a lack of intimacy which they feel with their creator. So, you know, it makes me question myself, you know, like where do you think this comes from, this feeling, this lack of intimacy?
No problem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran also...
Because it's not just them, it's also me. I also feel this myself.
Admits and approves this. Say, you want to be closer to your God?
Yes.
Okay. You want to find... Who is closer to his God? Okay. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. The one is for example, pious, or the one is doing best is closer to his God or her God.
Yeah.
So Allah is close to those who do good.
I understand. Yeah.
Because Allah is goodness, and the one is more good, is treating better, is closer to God.
I see. Yeah, so it doesn't ask very special acts or things like this. Just be a good person and you will feel close to God.
The one is
others,
better.
Be honest.
Yeah.
I see.
Is closer to God.
And what would you say about persons who say that, okay, I'm very religious, I believe in God, but, you know, who is a liar, who is not a truthful person and steals and cheats?
It's not possible. It's not possible.
No?
This claim is rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Because being close to God is being with goodness only, according to this verse of Quran.
Mm-hmm.
It is not possible. If somebody close to God and tells lies or doing bad or, for example, cheating people, it is not possible. Never and ever. In Islam, it's not possible. Maybe in some other religions, it is okay. They say, okay, later you... make refutation or no, in Islam, no.
Mm-hmm.
When you are like this, you are not a believer. Even there is a tradition from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his descendants, says that I say that when a person doing, for example, kind of, for example, stealing, robbery, is not a believer. When he is doing adultery, is not a believer. لا يزني الزاني وهو مؤمن لا يسرق السارق وهو مؤمن. In this situation, in this moment, he is not a believer. He is not a faithful.
That's very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing which comes to mind is, you know, like even Christians, some of the Christians who seem to believe that, you know, having faith is enough. You don't need to do actions, just accept Christ, for example, as your savior, and that's it. You don't need to do anything more. But you know, James the Just, one of the companions of Christ, may peace be upon him, he said that faith without good deeds is dead.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful.
The same in Islam. Islam has iman in Islam, has three parts: belief in heart, admission
in words, in by words, the tongue,
and action in behavior.
Action of the limbs.
Yeah, yeah. Three. For example, pillars of iman, of faith. Without one,
it's not complete.
It's not complete.
Thank you very much.
I should think.
We'll be going for a short break. We'll be back soon, inshallah.
Allah, 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 Subhanallah, Allah, Allah, Allah,
okay, we're back again, but unfortunately, at the same time, we have to end our edition of question and answer. I have to leave you with pain in my heart, Mr. Bharati. But I hope to see you very, very soon again, inshallah.
Thank you very much. That's my pleasure to be with you and your listeners. I really find it very attractive and informative for myself also. And I hope that I will be with you very soon.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I would like to cut off the conversation here with your permission. Dear listeners, for our next edition, we are in desperately in need of your questions. So please help us out. Help us out with your questions, suggestions, whatever. Send it to us by telephone or by email. Okay, our telephone number is 0098251-2910551. One more time, 0098-251-2910551. Our email is Radio Ma'arif. This is without any spaces or anything like that. Ma'arif is spelled like M-A-A-R-E-F at IRIB.IR. Okay, that's it for this session. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll hope to be together with you soon again. Fi amanillah.
Allah subhanallah. Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.